If you brought your Bible or a Bible app, you could turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'll get there in just a minute. We're starting a new series today called WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Last week, we were in Hebrews chapter 12, and we talked about running the race, how we should run with perseverance the race that the Lord has marked out for us. And so that really boils down to we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. And so that kind of led me into this thought of what would Jesus do? And I think we can talk about this for a while. How many remember the WWJD bracelets that were popular years ago? Did you have one? Yeah, okay. It actually started in 1989 when the youth group at Calvary Reformed Church in Holland, Michigan, studied Charles Sheldon's 1896 novel, In His Steps. In the novel, parishioners preface every thought and action with, what would Jesus do? And they begin to see the difference it makes. So Calvary's youth took Sheldon's model to heart and made up colorful woven bracelets to wear as a tangible reminder of that powerful question. And soon people throughout their community were wearing the bracelets, and it mushroomed from there. By the late 90s, the letters WWJD could be found on a multitude of books, t-shirts, and other Christian merchandise, and something like 14 million bracelets have been sold. WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I think it's a great question for us to ask. What would Jesus do in any situation? What would Jesus do? And so this series is really going to focus on Christ-likeness. How can we be more like Christ? Francis Frangipane says this, Christ himself is the eternal blueprint for our lives. Only in studying him, in measuring ourselves by him, do we grow securely upon the foundation of God. Beloved, we were created to become like Christ. This has been the Father's purpose from the beginning of time, and it remains his unchanging goal at the end of the age. The pursuit of Christ-likeness aligns us with the Father's highest priority for our lives. We need to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. You need to be more like Jesus. Christ-likeness, what would Jesus do? And so today we're going to focus on the character of Christ-likeness. And we're in Philippians chapter 2. And would you please stand? I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Here's what it says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You may be seated. I love that passage. It's probably one of my favorites in the scripture. And it's a great starting point. Let me just kind of sum up what I believe the author is saying here. He talks about the believer's relationship. We're to be in unity with Christ and other believers. And the believer's responsibility is the character of Christ, to be more like Jesus. And the believer's reward is the exaltation of Christ. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he will be exalted. Now, the focus today is on our responsibility to have the attitude and the character of Christ. It's right there in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Attitude is a choice. You get to choose your attitude. They can make the same experience can either be pleasant or painful, depending on your attitude. Attitudes determine our actions, for good or for bad. In flying, airplanes have what is called an attitude indicator. And basically all that does is tell you whether you're moving upwards or downwards. It's the attitude of the airplane that decides which way you're going to go. And somebody said, it's not what happens to me that matters most, it's how I react to what happens to me. Attitude is a choice. And so what was Christ's attitude? What was his character that we can learn from today? I have 3 points. First one is this. Jesus was selfless. He was selfless. In verse 6, we find that he already had the nature of God. He was God. He was equal to God. But he was willing to release that status to fulfill his purposes. He became one of us. And he didn't have to grasp and hang on to all the benefits of being God. He became selfless. Like a lot of homemakers, willing to forgo a skilled career in order to stay home and raise the kids. That's selfless. Or sometimes a man who will take just any job, perhaps not the job that he really wants, but he's willing to do it to supply and provide for his family. He's selfless. Not holding on to pride. Jesus was willing to let those things go. And our attitude should be like Christ. Not having to hang on to all those things that we think are so important, but willing to let go and release that. So we don't always need to defend our rights or defend our status or prove how great we are. We just need to follow Christ. And he set the example by being completely selfless. Speaking of pride, it's been said the man who has the right to boast doesn't have to. Either Jesus gets the glory, or he doesn't. And here's another one. Don't brag. It isn't the whistle that pulls the train. And then here's another one. If there's one thing we should have others find out for themselves, it's how great we are. Jesus was selfless. He gave himself up for us. That was his character. That was his attitude. It wasn't all about everything he wanted or everything he could have, but it's what God wanted and what would be best for all of humanity. Jesus was selfless. And so should we be. Then Jesus was humble. We find that in verse 7. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Humility. It's been said the closer we get to God, the more modest we shall become. You see, it's all about comparing ourselves to Christ instead of comparing ourselves to others. When we compare ourselves to others, we can always find somebody that we feel better than. You know? But if you compare yourself to Christ, we can never match his greatness. And so it will stir some humility in us. Jesus was humble. Humility is the acceptance of the place appointed by God, whether it's in the front or the rear. Just wherever God puts me, I'm okay with that. That's humility. Here the scripture says that Jesus made himself nothing. In other words, that was a personal choice to make himself nothing. It's the idea of emptying yourself. I think the King James says that he made himself of no reputation. It didn't matter. His reputation didn't matter. He was humble. This emptying of self, this releasing of personal status, he could let it go because he was humble. In John chapter 3, verse 30, the scripture says, he must become greater, I must become less. That's humility. If you want to test most people, give them power. Have you ever noticed when somebody has power, how it sometimes changes their personality? Yeah. Jesus had ultimate power, but he chose to make himself. says he became a slave. And you can contrast that with the nature of God. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere he chooses. But Jesus was willing to let that go and become a slave or a servant who has no rights of his own. A servant only does what the master says. And he can only do it with what the master supplies. That's what Jesus chose. He chose no independence, no self-interest, but he was totally submitted to God. Absolutely a servant. Jesus was humble. And he demonstrated this in John chapter 13, starting at verse 14. After he washed the disciples' feet, Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And you know, in the context, Jesus had actually washed the disciples' dirty feet, which is an extremely menial task. I understand that that was, in the household of servants, this was the lowest servant's job. Your higher servants got to serve the meal. But the low servants washed dirty, stinky feet. And that's what Jesus did for his disciples. He demonstrated his humility by serving them. Jesus was humble, and he calls us to be humble as well. A man named Calvinus found himself with this title, Christian Leader. It was by a leading Christian magazine, and he began to wonder what that meant. More speaking engagements? Perhaps an appearance on a Christian talk show? He started wondering, what's this Christian leader really mean? And then he started to wonder if we actually have things reversed. Because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And he says, in a church I once attended, there was a man of tremendous faith. His wife is an alcoholic. His daughter has psychological problems. He was often poor in health, yet week after week he never complained. He always smiled and asked me how I was doing. He faithfully brought to church a young blind man who had no transportation. And he always sat with the blind man, helping him sing the hymns by saying the words into his ear. That man was a Christian leader, if there ever was one. You see, the humility. God values that. In fact, this world values status and fame, but God values servanthood and faithfulness. It's quite the contrast. Our world is very much about status and fame. I mean, famous people are celebrated all the time, and we're so concerned about our status in life and what kind of impression we make and all of that. But God's standards are entirely different. He looks for a servant's heart, and he looks for faithfulness. He's impressed by humility. The text here also says that Jesus was made in human likeness. He actually became one of us. And so when he talks about humility and when he demonstrates humility, it's not because of his supernatural powers. It's he was a man just like us, and yet he pulled it off. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." That's Jesus. He can relate to us. He was one of us. He knows what it is to be human. All the struggles we have, Jesus had those as well. In fact, C.S. Lewis talks about Jesus. He says, "The second person in God, the Son, became human himself, was born into the world as an actual man, a real man of a particular height, with hair of a particular color, speaking a particular language, and weighing so many pounds. The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man, but before that a baby, and before that a fetus inside a woman's body. If you want to get the hang of it, think how you would like to become a slug or a crab." steps than that for God to become a man. Talk about humility. Christ's attitude was humble, and it was by his own choice, and we should follow his example and humble ourselves. And then number three, his character, his attitude was that of obedience. We find that in verse 8. He was found in appearance as a man. He was similar to us, and we've already talked about this a little bit. You know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. Jesus was a man, just like one of us. And he humbled himself, became obedient. Obedience here is attentively listening. It's submissive. Listen careful and then do what it says. That was Jesus' obedience. It's kind of like being in the military. When your commanding officer gives an order, you don't question it. It's surely, I'll see you when you get around your business and do what he said. Am I right, military people? There's no really more room for negotiations. You do what he says. And that's the attitude Jesus had. Completely obedient. In fact, in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus himself said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That was Jesus' attitude. Completely submissive, completely obedient to God the Father. Oswald Chambers says this, weighing the pros and cons for and against a statement of Jesus Christ means that for the time being, I refuse to obey him. If he gives an order and I'm standing there debating, am I going to do that or not? You kind of already decided you're not doing it, at least for now. Disobedience. Somebody else said the cost of obedience is nothing compared with the cost of disobedience. Yep. Sometimes the things God calls us to are difficult, not hard. And it's not easy to obey. But if you think in the grand scheme of things, in all of eternity, it'd be easier to obey this difficult thing than to be disobedient and lose eternity. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Talking about obedience, a few centuries before Christ, a man named Alexander conquered almost all of the known world using military strength, cleverness, and a bit of diplomacy. You've heard of him, Alexander the Great. The story is told that Alexander and just a small company of soldiers approached a strongly fortified walled city. And Alexander, standing outside the walls, raised his voice and demanded to see the king. When the king arrived, Alexander insisted that the king surrender the city and its inhabitants to him and his little band of fighting men. The king laughed, "Why should I surrender to you? You can't do us any harm." But Alexander offered to give the king a demonstration. He ordered his men to line up single file and start marching. He marched them straight toward a sheer cliff. The townspeople gathered on the wall and watched in shocked silence as one by one, Alexander's soldiers marched without hesitation right off the cliff to their deaths. After 10 soldiers died, Alexander ordered the rest of the men to return to his side. The townspeople and the king immediately surrendered to Alexander the Great. They realized that if a few men were actually willing to commit suicide at the command of this dynamic leader, then nothing could stop his eventual victory. Wow. That's a demonstration of obedience. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to be obedient to the ruler of the universe, Jesus Christ, as those soldiers were to Alexander? Are you as dedicated and committed? Think how much power Christ could have in our area with just a portion of that kind of commitment. If people would just somewhat obey him and do everything he says, how influential could Christ be in our community if we really humbled ourselves and obeyed everything he said? In fact, Jesus not only humbled himself and became obedient, but he actually became obedient even to the point of death, here it says. And he literally died in obedience to God the Father. Okay? Now, most of us will not be called to actually die serving the Lord. Okay? There are some that go to dangerous parts of the world serving the Lord, and it might cost them their life. But the majority of us aren't called to that. But what we are called to is self-denial, dying to ourselves every day. Jesus talked about it in Luke 9, 23 and 24. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. He calls us to a life of self-denial, and that is a form of death. Because you don't get everything you want. You have to let go of some things. It's kind of that selfless attitude that we began with. Humility and obedience. Even to death. Even dying to self? We have to die to ourselves? Yeah. That's what he calls us to. To die to ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Die to yourself. And it's not by accident that the symbol of Christianity is the cross rather than a bed of ease. Jesus died on that cross, and he calls us to be obedient and die to ourselves. And it's been said, you deny Christ when you fail to deny yourself. Are you willing to obey Jesus no matter what? No matter what? That's what he calls us to, that kind of obedience. So our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He was selfless, he was humble, he was obedient. And we want to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? He would be selfless. He would put others first. He would always be interested in other people's concerns. What would Jesus do? He would be humble. He wouldn't have to defend his status and his pride. And what would Jesus do? He would be obedient. Whatever God says, my answer is yes, Lord. Sir, yes, sir. When a company takes over another company, there is often a sign placed outside the premises announcing, under new management. No sign so accurately summarizes what takes place in Christian conversion. When Christ takes over a life, that life is literally under new management. How hard it is to learn this lesson and to acknowledge the new authority in our lives. How hard it is for those who have obeyed the flesh to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is required in being a Christian. We're under new management. We need to be more like Jesus. Chuck Swindoll says, to be like Christ. That is our goal, plain and simple. It sounds like a peaceful, relaxing, easy objective. I just want to be more like Jesus. But stop and think. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Scripture says that very plainly. And so must we. It is neither easy, nor quick, nor natural. It is impossible in the flesh. It's slow in coming, and it's supernatural in scope. Only Christ can accomplish it within us. To be like Jesus, that's our call. And today, we learn he was selfless, he was humble, he was obedient. And those things are designed for us as well. We also should be selfless and humble and obedient. And I agree with Chuck Swindoll that in the natural, in our own strength, we really can't do that. So we have to ask the Lord to do that in us. And so this morning I want to close the service just with a few minutes of individual prayer, just wherever you are, or if you want to come to the front, let's just pray and ask for his character to be formed in us. I'm going to play a little bit of music, and I'll close here in a little while. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to form his character in us to be more like Jesus.